Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Leila Muhammad sitting in for Shannon today. Told you earlier in the show, a federal grand jury has indicted the four former Minneapolis police officers involved in George Floyd's death, accusing them of willfully violating George Floyd's constitutional rights. Got a jobs report this week. America's employers added just 266,000 jobs in April, and the unemployment rate went from 6 to 6.1%. But we're still seeing some good spending numbers in terms of personal spending habits, so that's good. But this story is, I think, one of the examples of what we're seeing go wrong with the LA County DA, George Gascon. The office, the DA's office, has dropped its bid for the death penalty against Heather Barron and Kareem Leyva, which I guess unless you're following this case, those names don't even ring a bell. But they're accused of killing Heather's 10-year-old son, Anthony Avalos. She's 31. He's now 35. Instead of getting death, they will likely get life in prison without the possibility of parole if convicted of the murder and the torture and the special circumstance allegation of murder involving the infliction of torture for Anthony Avalos' death almost 3 years ago. John Hatami, who is a deputy DA who was involved in the Gabriel Fernandez case, also in that same area, also dealing with torture and murder of a small child.
8-year-old, yep.
He criticized the DA, his own boss, of course, for a series of directives that includes one that advises that, quote, a death sentence is never an appropriate resolution in any case. And what John Hatami said was, this is not based on new evidence. This is not based upon new mitigation or any new law. And he says, I stand by the Special Circumstances Committee decision that I announced to the court on the record 2 years ago. This is now the second high-profile case in which George Gascon has taken the death penalty off the table as a potential punishment. There were other deputy DAs ordered to remove the death penalty in the case of Michael Mejia, awaiting trial on charges stemming from the 2017 killings of Whittier police officer Keith Boyer and Michael Mejia's own cousin. Now, along with the murder charge that Heather Barron and Kareem Leyva are facing, they're also looking at a couple of other counts of child abuse involving two other children in their home. And Leyva is facing an allegation that he personally inflicted great bodily injury on one of the youngsters in circumstances that involved domestic violence. This is not a one and done. This is not a fit of rage. This is not the kid pissed me off and I hit him too hard and he died, which is also inexcusable, but it's not even that kind of a case.
No, and we heard Steve Gregory's piece that Amy had for us a little while ago. The details are... The death itself is horrific. And the details that came out about how the boy was beaten with a belt and a looped cord and pouring hot sauce on his face and mouth. They're laying out the torture that led up to this, holding him by his feet and dropping him on his head repeatedly. That is deliberate. It is blatant. It is clear. And so the DA is saying there's never a situation, whether it's the killing of an officer, whether it's the deliberate beating and torture of a child, that the death penalty is ever appropriate. Is that what he's saying?
That's what he's saying. And the response is, listen, the criticism of what George Gascon has been doing is that these are blanket policies. This is not I will, as the DA, do everything in my power to prevent the death penalty, but I will look at each and every case. Here's the I guess, arrogance of George Gascon. I don't know if that's the right word. There's something going on here. If George Gascon had gone through and looked at the crime scene photos, the evidence in this case, heard testimony from the doctors who had to treat a 10-year-old boy who had been dropped on his head repeatedly, how, for a pediatrician, emergency room doctor, whatever, to see a 10-year-old with proof on his body that he had been whipped over and over again. George Gascon's not listening. He's not listening to that. He's got his fingers in his ears and he's going, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Because the reality of it is those two people do not deserve to breathe the same air that you and I breathe.
No. This is just horrific. You want to talk about the DA's response?
Yeah, this response came out today. A spokesperson for George Gascon, and it's important, they don't describe it. KTLA doesn't say who this spokesperson is, but it's worth mentioning. Many of the people who speak on behalf of George Gascon do not work for the DA. They do not work in the DA's office. They're advisors that are being called upon to try to explain these ridiculous policies. This is what the spokesperson for Gascon said today. California hasn't had an execution since 2006, and there's now a moratorium on executions. Both of those points are factually correct. Seeking death in these cases subjects victims to decades of appeals, forcing them to relive their trauma repeatedly for a sentence that will simply never be imposed. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Seeking death in these cases subjects victims to decades of appeals. I suppose not in this case. Anthony's gone.
Well, and the family, other family members, not the crazy mom
who
was convicted.
Okay.
But they said the family, the family members of Anthony said taking the death penalty off the table will never give them full justice.
Yeah.
So they don't agree with this.
It's also extremely expensive. This, again, the statement from the spokesperson for Gascon. It's extremely expensive. California spends over $5 billion on the death penalty since 1978, a cost to taxpayers of nearly $400 million per execution. The death penalty has also been shown to be racist in its application. It has never been shown to be a deterrent to crime. Finally, the death penalty is irreversible. And just last week, DNA and fingerprint evidence in an Arkansas case identified someone other than the man executed by the state in 2017. All right. Listen. Those all appear to be facts, okay? There's nothing wrong with the facts that they put on. But what that is saying is, I'm making an argument about the death penalty in general and not specifically about this case. And that's the problem that George Gascon has. He has said, I am opposed to the death penalty. I don't have a problem with it. In my own head, have wrestled with whether or not the death penalty is an appropriate penalty.
Absolutely. I've wrestled with it, too. I hear what you're saying.
But
what you're saying in this case, it was already something that was on the table. And he came back around and took it off.
Yeah. And I could understand if you said, well, there's some wiggle room or there's a case that we're not certain about. Or on appeal, it appears that this is not that case. This is not any of those things that they're talking about in the statement about why the death penalty is wrong or bad. And don't forget, in California, as liberal as California is in terms of its politics, the fact that we have a supermajority of Democrats in the state legislature, every elected official at the state level is a Democrat. We still voted a couple of years ago to keep the death penalty in place and to speed it up because it does cost a lot of money because there are decades of appeals to make sure that we get it right. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I don't understand how George Gascon thinks that this is fixing a criminal justice system, because what you're doing is ignoring the pain, ignoring the loss of a 10-year-old boy at the hands of his own mother and her boyfriend. You're ignoring it. That guy should be forced to go through every piece of evidence in that case before he comes out with a ridiculous statement like this and a ridiculous order that his deputy DAs take the death penalty off the table.
And meanwhile, the family, you know, Anthony Avalos's father and other family members have filed a lawsuit against the county because of social workers not doing enough.
Yeah. All right. A little lighter, but still important because it involves kids. What kind of distance learning is going to be available in the fall when it comes to schools? is any distance learning going to be available? We'll talk about that when we come back to Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app on this Friday, May 7th. Shannon out today once again. Again, not serving a suspension.
Not in trouble.
Not in trouble.
Is she with her mom?
She is.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. I actually talked to her on the phone yesterday afternoon for a meeting. And I've known her for 14 years, I think. I've known Shannon for 14
wow.
years. We've done the show for five, this show. I have never met her parents.
How is that possible?
I don't know. She's met mine, but I've never met her parents. I don't know if she's embarrassed of me. Or, I mean, it is weird. It's a different.
She's embarrassed of me.
Well, you know, I can, as she likes to say, it can be a lot. Orange County officials announced they're going to shut down Orange County's mass vaccination sites next month because of a lack of demand for shots. So June 5th, you're going to see the Anaheim Convention Center, OC Fair and Event Center, Soka University and Santa Ana College shut down. But L.A. County says their vaccine sites are still going to be open. You just might see a smaller footprint for some of those sites. One of the stories we've talked about multiple times is schools and schools reopening. And the fall is a very frustrating thing to think about. I already received information from my daughter's college that they're not going back to full in-person, five-day-a-week offerings. That they're going to do more hybrid options for the students. And the assumption when I got the email was you'd be able to choose your comfort level. You want a Chem 101 class in person? There is one that's offered. You want a Chem 101 class that's entirely online? They'll offer that too. That's not the way it's bearing out. That's not the way it's going to be offered. But there will be some in-person classes on college campuses. A question that's being bandied around in Sacramento is, should they continue to have an exception for students, or more importantly, for the parents who want to keep their students home from school? Or maybe even those who learn better outside the classroom, although that's a really small number of kids. Right. I know there are some that are out there. Right. That's a really small number of kids.
My older niece is one, but she's also very disciplined. Super brilliant.
Right.
And so for her, it works fine. The younger niece had to go back to school in person. There were some missed assignments and some other bad stuff going on.
Now, the things that they're dealing with in terms of coming up with these rules for the fall, state law does require that a school district provide students with a set amount of instructional time. It's about 5 hours per day for the most part. And during the pandemic, the state obviously threw those laws out because you had to make some of these rules more flexible just to get the teachers in the right spot, the kids in the right spot, and there's no way you were going to be able to do a full day when it's online. So while most school districts in California have reopened to some degree, and most of them have opened and do allow some kids to be on campus at a time, for some time, it's not across the board. And that's what they're going to have to figure out.
By June 30th.
Yeah.
The deadline's coming up.
There is a deadline.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that have to happen. Number one, my opinion, the government has to come out and say, your kid is better off, even if he or she's wearing a mask or whatever, is better off, but in a desk, in class, 5 days a week, full day of school. That's why school is designed to be that way. And the government needs to come out and say that. Mm-hmm. They could also say, but if you think your kid learns better at home, or if you're still afraid of the boogeyman or whatever, we will allow you, at least for the first semester, you know, the first half of the school year, to continue some sort of hybrid learning. But that has to come from the government. It has to come from the state because so many people are relying on that type of guidance from the government, from Gavin Newsom, from the school boards, from the county, whatever, to make them feel comfortable sending their kids back to school. They're not doing the homework on their own. The parents aren't. They're not doing the homework on their own. They're not figuring out how many wild outbreaks of COVID have there been in schools. Not enough to be that afraid of it, especially when we talk about 4 or 5 months from now, when the, you know, a majority of people are going to have been vaccinated or be immune because they already had the COVID. In addition to that, health experts are talking about the surge in people seeking emergency mental health services in kids. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's not part of the conversation when it comes to this.
Or
those underserved neighborhoods that we've talked about. So that before COVID had crappy schools, had crappy test scores, were not getting the services that they need. Those are those neighborhoods that are going to suffer even more if we continue with the, well, it's okay if you keep them at home and do what you want. That's not the way it should go. There's got to be some pressure from the government down that says your kids need to be back in school.
I think the mental health services should be a part of the conversation moving forward. Obviously, I don't think we were thinking of that last year when all hell broke loose with the pandemic, just trying to figure out how to keep everybody safe.
Right.
But now that we know the effects of it or looking at the research, it has to be part of the conversation moving forward. I thought the governor's office did say, I thought Newsom did say he thought that students could be back 100% this fall.
The word he used is he expects
okay.
it to be back.
So
but that's,
he
that's
needs
different.
To issue an order.
He needs to put his foot down. He needs to stand up to the teachers unions that have up to this point been a roadblock and say, I'm not going to allow you to continue threatening these kids, whether it's a small percentage of them who are dealing with mental health issues as a result of this, those neighborhoods and underserved schools that are not getting the services they need. He has to stand up to that population, I suppose, and say this has got to be a priority. Instead of saying, I expect, the governor should say, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that 100% of schools are open 5 days a week full time.
I think the hybrid learning, too, will work better for our high schoolers. That's it. I wouldn't trust it with the younger ones. They need to be back in a classroom safely learning.
Yeah.
The hybrid can work for someone who's preparing for college.
And like you said, as long as they're self-driven, as long as they have self-discipline to do that sort of thing, maybe it is beneficial
for
some
kids. That could
work
for them. But the younger ones, it's a whole different ballgame.
San Francisco has a homeless plan. We were talking earlier about Venice and what those tents look like along the Venice boardwalk. San Francisco has an experiment that might or might not work. Hint, it's not going to work. Gary and Shannon will continue in just a moment.
Make it, do it, makes us. Harder, better, faster, stronger.
Gary and Shannon.
More than power.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Layla Muhammad sitting in for Shannon today. A couple minutes, we're going to be talking with Jane Wells. Jane Wells of KFI and CNBC. She's up in Washington State. They're getting ready for the next round of murder hornets. That is not a story I would want to do.
I agagree with you on that one.
At 12:30, we're going to get into Swamp Watch and talk about some news out of D.C., including the unemployment report that came out today. A little bit less than they were expecting. In the 1 o'clock hour, hey, our 9 news nuggets you need to know. That's how we end our week. It's going to be a commercial-free 9 news nuggets you need to know, where we talk about all those stories that kind of fell through the cracks that we're going to have some fun with. Homelessness is rampant in the West Coast. I mean, you can't just say it's L.A. or San Francisco. It's up and down the West Coast. And one of the issues that we have talked about repeatedly is, how do you fix it? And people who make a whole lot more money than either one of us have tried to fix it, and it's only getting worse, right? In the 17 years that I've lived in Southern California, it's only gotten worse. There's nothing that I would point to say that is better, that is getting cleaner, that is whatever. There's nothing. There's no metric by which you could say homelessness is getting better. In San Francisco, one of the, I mentioned this off the air, one of the scariest mile and a half walks I ever had in San Francisco came just a couple of years ago.
You told me that, and I've never been there, so I was surprised to hear this.
It's been compared to fictional versions of what people thought cities would look like. You know, if 40 years ago you were to say San Francisco in 2020 was going to be a place where there were random garbage can fires and people shooting up drugs in the subways, I mean, all that's exactly what it has turned into. Just people dropping deuces on the streets left and right. The only thing different is, I guess if they do it in Venice, you could kick sand over it. You don't, you know, you cover it up, but it's that's not going to make it better.
That's another scary site to walk through recently.
One of the things that San Francisco has done is they have opened what they're calling sanctioned tent encampments or safe sleep areas. These started popping up at the beginning of the pandemic. And according to the city, they've become a key part of San Francisco's homelessness response. But that doesn't mean that they're either working or that they're safe or that they're good. The city's first safe encampment in San Francisco is literally in the shadow of City Hall. It is right next to the public library, and it sprouted up last year just as the capacity was limited because of COVID. And you started to see large encampments. And according to them, a large encampment is, you know, between 10 and 20 tents. And it started as this ad hoc response to the pandemic. Now they're saying it's never going to go away. Mm-hmm. A safe tent sleeping place is never going to go away. So these wonderful, beautiful plazas that you could go to in San Francisco, even if you were a tourist from out of town or a guy just traveling in for a meeting at lunchtime, you could hang out at a beautiful plaza in on the steps of City Hall in San Francisco, which is an amazing place. And you are amongst 150, 200 of your closest friends who are, whatever, unhoused. They're urban camping enthusiasts. Call it what you want.
Well, here's the other side of it, though. So do you allow people to keep deciding which street or underpass they want to live on with trash bags and trash on the road and tents everywhere? Or do you put them in a sanctioned tent encampment where everyone's in one area where they may have some services? They have people trying to help them find permanent housing. Maybe there's resources to help people get off drugs or mental health. So at least there are people there who are trying to point them in the right direction. But then the other question is, how long does that last? How long does the encampment stay up?
That's the thing. If you do put those services next to now what is a safe sleep area or a sanctioned encampment, there's no end. Because you can't say to people, just so you know, we're going to open it June 1st, and by December 31st, everybody's got to be gone. We'll give you every opportunity that you need.
You can.
You could try.
Didn't Echo Park just do that?
Okay. But if you think that Echo Park is not going to soon, within months, they take those fences down, there will be people sleeping in that park once again. It's because it's a temporary thing. There are too many people listen, those people who I know who have been on the street, and I'm not saying I know a lot. I'm just saying I know a handful. It's because they were between jobs. They got caught. They didn't have a place to crash. They were living in their car, whatever. And within days, not weeks, they were able to find the services to get them a place to live, the things that they need to get back on track. These people are chronic. Whatever chronic, they're chronic what? Mental health maybe,
right. Maybe
drug addiction, something like that. Those people do not take the services that are available to them. Or if they do, they break the promises that they've made to themselves and to the people in those services and get back on the street, get back to using, get back to, you know, ignoring the doctor's advice, whatever.
Yeah, one of the guys they talked to in the article, that was his story, trying to kick a meth addiction and saying that with these safe encampments they have in San Francisco, at least you can kind of come and go freely versus a shelter that may have more rules. The reason why people are choosing these encampments is because there aren't the rules. You can take the services if you want. But we saw that when the pandemic first happened. You know, when we didn't know how COVID was going to affect everyone. And in a lot of our minds, people were going to be like dead on the streets. All these homeless folks were going to be dead on the streets because COVID's out there. They don't have masks. They're not washing their hands. That wasn't the case. But then we started opening up these hotel rooms and no one was going.
Right.
Because you can't force people to go into the hotel rooms. Yeah. Even though they were free, they had hot meals, they had a bed. A lot of folks chose to just stay on the streets.
And Nick, that attitude has changed. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you could physically take people off the street. I understand why it's not approved now or why people don't like the image of it now. That's why so many people were upset about Echo Park. They didn't like the idea that people were forced to move in a place that they don't own. It's a public park. They should be able to, whatever. But that attitude has completely changed. If you did have that same opening of, you know, the county buying these abandoned hotels or even working hotels and motels and then the county buying them and turning them into these at least temporary shelters for people, you physically have to get them off of the street to put them into that, even into the chute of these are services that are now available to you. If you're not going to take them, you can't not take them in our county or city or wherever. I mean, you mentioned Hermosa Beach. They don't have homeless people.
You'll never. I mean, you may see people walking around, but you won't see people camped up on the sidewalk like you see in Venice. Venice has turned into a tent city.
And it's because
I've walked Venice sidewalks recently. And
they're willing, the city leaders in places like that, and there's a handful of them around LA County, they're willing to say, you can't pitch your tent on my sidewalk, period. Not at 9 o'clock at night. You got to be done out by six. You cannot do that in this part of this county. And there are places that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the places that are going to be free of these kinds of problems. But until somebody, until we start reworking or going back to a philosophy of you have to enforce some of these laws and you've got to get some of the people back into the hotels or these shelters or something. You can't just.
Well, yeah, I don't know. No one knows the solution, right? I mean, we've been talking about this forever. It's beyond a crisis at this point.
Jane Wells, when we come back, she's getting ready for murder hornets. That seems like an easier problem to solve.
Oh, Lord.
Gary and Shannon will continue. Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640 Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Layla Muhammad's in for Shannon today. If you were listening to the KISM Classic Rock 92.5 from Bellingham today, you heard Jane Wells talking with those guys about the wacky morning show about the murder hornets. Jane Wells is joining us now.
She's the best.
How did you know that?
Jane, I am aware of everything that you do.
That's creepy. Almost as creepy as a murder hornet.
What are you doing up there? And why would you say yes to the, hey, cover the murder hornet story?
Okay. The bigger question is, why would you say no? So I'm doing the story for Shepard Smith's show this evening on CNBC. And that show, for some reason, they're obsessed with the murder hornet. And so they said, well, do you want to go do a story? And of course, yeah, I get to put on a bee suit and everything. The problem, they're getting ready to head into the third year of the murder hornet in North America. And right now is the time when any queens which survive the winter will start to emerge and begin to build nests. So everybody up in this particular part of Washington state, it's all hands on deck to keep an eye out for these ugly 2-inch long hornets. And if you see one, you got to call the ag department or somebody and get that thing killed now.
How do they kill it? Do they trap it? Do they burn it with fire? Do they shoot at it with 12 gauge?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I'm not really sure. That is an excellent question, Gary, that I have not asked. But as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to find out how. I think they kill them with heat because that's how in Asia, the eastern honeybees will gather together and create like a heat ball, which will defend themselves against these giant hornets and will kill them. Western honeybees, they haven't figured that out. It's going to take so long for the evolved to do that. And then to import eastern honeybees here to sort of import those genetics would create other issues because they have different viruses and mites. So that's not really an issue. So the bees here are dead meat when they're beheaded if they want run into one of these things. And the only way to defend against them is to kill the hornets.
That's property, Jane, where the murder hornets were first discovered. Is that where you went, the same property?
I went 2 miles away from where that is. There's only been one nest found in the United States. And that was last year, a couple miles from where I am now, and they destroyed it. But before they found it, it had gone, a few of the hornets had gone about 2 miles to this guy's bee yard, and in the middle of the night, just beheaded about 60,000 bees. He came out and his best colony was just gone, and he had never seen anything like it because usually, if yellow jackets or something gets in, a few of the predators are killed. Not in this case, who he's like, what happened? Because there was no evidence of what had been there.
Wow. So here you are.
I have good news. Wait.
Okay.
I have good news, though.
Okay.
So here's the good news. All right. They, according to entomologist Lynn Kimsey at UC Davis, they probably are not going to come down to where we are. They need moist, warm summers, and the Pacific Northwest, Seattle area gives them that. It's too hot and dry where we are. They'd like the East Coast, but it's too hard for them to travel that far. She says it's a miracle that they haven't survived to get over here already. So it's hard. They're very big. They're very social, so they're easily discovered. And the fact that it's taken this long for them to get to North America, that's a miracle and shows how difficult it would be for them to, say, get on a truck and go across the Midwest to get to the East Coast. And we're global warming, and this climate change is our friend in this case.
Yeah, that's absolutely one of the nice things about it.
I don't know. It's 2021, and based off last year and these guys hanging out, I could see them coming here from Washington. That's a short little drive.
4 o'clock tonight on the Shepard Smith Show.
We may have to look. Seattle may have to. Yeah.
Well,
I'm sorry. I'm going to talk all day. So you just have to shut me up.
I'll just
shut up. Yes.
Well, I know you got to get
45 p.m.
You got to get back to Brad and John Bellingham's Classic Rock 92.9. Gene Wells, thanks a lot. Here's some Foghat for you. I mean, I don't know if Jane Wells likes morning shows and classic rock or anything, but I'm sure that's how it went. Jane, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, Jane.
You're hilarious. Thank you.
All of our trending stories when we come back to Gary and Shannon.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.